This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on what has been a fantastic Thursday. And so we'll touch on a couple things here. Someone has a good email about what Biden's cabinet was doing, taking it easy. We'll talk about that here in a few. I just wanted to touch on this. About an hour ago, roughly, 2 hours ago, Todd Blanche, he's the deputy attorney general, in case you don't know who that is, Todd Blanche met with Ghislaine Maxwell. You know that she's the Epstein lady. She's the one in prison. She said, hey, have me in. I'll tell you everything, all that other stuff. You also are aware of the reporting that all the media outlets are saying right now that Trump is in the Epstein files. We're not going to cover all the Epstein stuff again. I'm so sick of that crap. I've moved on. I've told you my thoughts on it. I just wanted to touch on this. The Trump administration, and I'm including Pam Bondi in this, they have to walk a tightrope here, and I don't know if it's possible for them to walk it with a certain percentage of the people. It is not humanly possible for a variety of reasons. And Trump and Pam Bondi have to own some of those reasons, but so does social media, where rumors run wild. For a variety of reasons, a lot of people believe that there is a list, that Jeffrey Epstein had a list. The list is a document that outlines the criminals and their crimes. And they believe that Donald Trump and Pam Bondi, for whatever reason, are currently hiding that list. I have explained to you that list has never existed. That doesn't exist. There are documents. There are all kinds of documents, depositions and flight logs and their bank records. There are documents galore. Criminals don't keep a centralized list of criminals and their crimes. That's not a thing. That's only a thing that exists in the internet. There are documents, troves of documents. Pam Bondi, she has to own a lot of this, sure did make it sound like she had the docs, she had the goods, she was going to give them out. They never gave them out. And then, almost out of nowhere, Trump starts to yell at everybody to shut up about it. I understand what he was doing. I've explained what he was doing. He was prepping the ground for the fact that his name was going to leak, which I think is not justified. But that's what happened. This is not an issue, though, that some people are going to let go. A certain percentage of this population believe that wealthy, powerful people get away with every crime under the sun. They think Jeffrey Epstein, you know what Jeffrey Epstein is for a lot of people? Maybe that's who he is for you. Jeffrey Epstein is finally an opportunity to hold some wealthy, powerful people to account. And maybe it's not possible to do that. That's what I believe. I think all the truly damaging stuff is gone, deleted, destroyed. I mean, they got to Jeffrey Epstein in prison. You think they're going to leave the evidence laying around? But either way, I don't think it's possible for Trump, Bondi. I don't think it's possible for them to deliver what will satisfy a certain percentage of people. So that's fine. You can't satisfy everyone, but they've got to deliver something. Something of some kind. Remember, there are different things at play here. Some people, myself included, I'm the one who, remember when I told you that I think they added Trump's name to it? I'm not the only one saying that now. Days afterwards, here's the Speaker of the House.
One of our concerns is, of course, that it was, you know, held in the hands of the DOJ leaders under the last administration, the Biden-Harris administration. And we all know how crooked and corrupt so many of those top officials were, how they engaged in lawfare against President Trump. And he has a concern, and I do as well, that things could have been doctored in those records. So that's part of the concern. But I'm for full transparency.
This is an ugly game, and I don't think it can be won, to be honest. I think there have been too many promises. Too many people have it in their minds that there's a list, you're hiding it. There have been too many promises, and again, they have to own some of that. So now you can't just yell at people to move on. You also can't just hand over a list of every name because they're not all criminals. You can't, I don't know that it's possible for them to deliver enough at this point in time. I see why they're desperate to move on, because I don't believe it's possible for this administration to have a win here. Look, it's a mess of their own making. There's no question about that. It's a mess of their own making. All right, I'm going to do this email real quick because it leads me to something. Jesse, I don't believe Biden's cabinet worked at all. They took advantage. Hey, the boss is asleep. Turn up the music. Let's party. Okay. I'm going to play you something. It's an older clip, but it's pretty appropriate for what we're talking about here. This is the Rear Admiral Pete Buttigieg. He's on CBS's Face the Nation.
So the president's goal is to have 500,000 chargers up by the end of this decade. Now, in order to do a charger, it's more than just plunking a small device into the ground. There's utility work, and this is also really a new category of federal investment. But we've been working with each of the 50 states. Every one of them is getting formula dollars to do this work,
engaging them
in the first handful. Again, by 2030, 500,000 chargers. And the very first handful of chargers are now already being physically built.
They've built less than 400. By the time they aired that, it was 7 or 8. What happened? How's this tie back to the Biden email? Well, let me ask you something. Do you have a job? Or just picture yourself having a job if you don't. Maybe you're young, maybe you're out of work, but a job. What could you do if you couldn't be fired? You were in a place where you couldn't be fired, and if you could strip yourself of any sense of duty at all. In fact, more than just your job, your life. You have obligations, don't you? Duties. Even if you're a kid, you got to take the trash out. It's your job. If you're a woman, do you have a role, duty, especially if you have a family? Even if you don't. For a man, you have a role, duty. You have to take care of your mom. You have to, this neighbor needs this. The house has got to get this done. You got to go to work. What if I could strip you of any sense of duty at all? It'd be miserable, don't get me wrong, but wouldn't it also be unbelievably freeing for a little while? Hey, Chris, you got a computer there? No need to work. Why don't you just have some fun? In fact, take the office printer home. Enjoy yourself. Oh, we got some goodies, got some food in the kitchen. You guys just clean it all out. What difference does it make? You don't feel any sense of duty, any obligation to the show. Do whatever you want. Oh, look at this set of headphones I have on. What are these things called here? Aftershocks. These wireless bone conduction headphones. I like these. I think I'll keep them. I think I'll take them home. They're now mine. I'll just use them for when I'm working out. That's that mentality. That's how a communist operates wherever they are, because they don't have a sense of duty to whatever institution they're currently occupying. So when you allow a communist as head of the Department of Transportation, well, he's just going to loot. He doesn't care about transportation. He has no sense of duty to the country. He doesn't care about planes crashing. There's no sense of duty. He's completely free. Remember Obama? It was a story that it really only played in right-wing circles, but it was very, very true. How many vacations Obama took? I remember even David Letterman, who's a lefty. I remember David Letterman doing a late-night monologue where he essentially said, this guy's on vacation all the time. He's going to have plenty of time to take vacation when he loses re-election, which, of course, he didn't end up losing re-election. But Obama was on vacation so much, late-night Democrats mocked him for it. Why? Well, How much fun would it be to be president if you didn't have to worry about the country? Donald Trump works insane hours. Trade deals here, flying there, getting a hostage released here. Insane hours, because the sense of duty, the obligation that come with the job is huge, but how much fun would it be if you didn't have any of that? Oh my gosh, it's golf. Fire up Air Force One. We're going to Paris, baby. It's all the time. Without a sense of duty, you can just loot and be free. That's exactly how Biden's cabinet operated. All right, let's move on. I want to move on and do some emails. Before I do some emails, I'm going to do some pure talk. I don't want to do pure talk. That wouldn't make any sense. But I want to tell you about pure talk. That would probably make more sense. See, I have it. It's a cell phone company I have. Don't you want the same cell phone company I have? What an honor that would be for you. I'm kidding. Everybody can get Pure Talk, and you can save a fortune when you do it. You don't need Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile anymore. It used to be that was really your only option. But now Pure Talk's on the same network. So you're not dropping calls. You're not going with some Keystone Cops cell phone company. You can switch to the patriotic cell phone company that gives back to veterans when they give back, charges you way less because they don't put a freaking store on every corner. You're the one paying for all that. You want a brand new phone? They've got those. You want to keep your phone? Do that too. Pure Talk makes it easy, and maybe best of all, you get to talk to an American who speaks English when you call them, because they hire Americans. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. That's how you switch. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Missed out? Catch up. JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday. Remember, tomorrow is Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get your questions emailed in right now. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Ask me absolutely anything. Now, before we get back to the politics,
what happened last week when they took a shot at my hero and they tried to kill the next president of the United States? Enough was enough. And I said, let Trumpomania run wild, brother. Let Trumpomania rule again. Let Trumpomania make America great again.
Gosh, that was great. All right, so I got a bunch of emails, probably some Ask Dr. Jesse stuff, but I wanted to get it out of the way here, asking about why the media, why the left, not just the media, Democrats, why are the communists so obsessed with talking about Stephen Colbert and his show getting canceled? It's just one late night show. They still have all the others and the sound bites and freaking out about it. I mean, gosh, listen to these people.
Approval from the Trump administration. So you wrote about this and you say Colbert's cancellation, simply not funny.
Yes, simply not funny, but also really scary. Our government has done this before, that history is very much filled with moments like this.
Our TV network's going to keep supporting political satire and free speech at a time when President Trump's campaign of retribution is rattling corporate America. You know, there's been a long history in the U.S. of comics having a lot of space and room to poke fun at presidents, as well as the network executives who run the parent companies. But right now, fans feel that tradition is under threat, and it relates to a broader fear about institutions caving to Trump and quieting political dissent.
If the comedians are being attacked, then that means our Constitution is being dismantled.
That's right.
That means the very rubric of our democracy is being dismantled.
What's this all about? Because obviously the theater kids don't believe that democracy is being dismantled and fascism. Okay, that's set aside what the theater kids are saying. Why the outrage? There's something the communist does very well, and it hurts him sometimes, and sometimes it helps him. when he gains ground, remember, he's out to infiltrate, conquer, and destroy. And when he gains ground, whatever ground that is in a society, he will guard every single inch of it as if it is everything to him. He never backs off a little. He doesn't understand the concept of tactical retreat. If he has conquered something, whatever it is, large or small, when he is at risk of losing that, he fights to the death to keep it. So for you or me, looking at it just logically, it's one late night show that wasn't even big. Who cares about one show? You still have all the others. The communist doesn't think about that at all. He does not think in that way. He looks at it as, I finally captured every single late night show. They were all loyal to me. They all said whatever I wanted said. If we lose even one of those, then we run the risk of losing all of those. So we will not tactically retreat. We will make the biggest deal in the world out of this. We'll act like it is the end of the world. And look, sometimes that bites them in the rear end because sometimes they take positions that are so unpopular, it drags the whole party down, like the tranny stuff. They know they should let that go. Logically, you should let that go. It's not a winner. It's the biggest political loser. It's insane. It makes no sense. But there is an advantage to being that way. And the advantage to being that way is actually not, it's not dissimilar to the Japanese in World War II. You know how fanatical they were? They'd be happy to die, oftentimes even to the point of killing themselves to kill you. They will never surrender en masse. They will fight until the last man dies. Now, you can argue overall that's bonkers, it's evil, it's whatever. You can put whatever word on it. But I'll tell you what, it was in our minds as we got used to it. When you knew you had to go take a pill box that had 10 Japanese soldiers in it, it was on your mind that they're not going to surrender. They're going to use every ounce of ammo, explosive they have, and it really drags you down and wears you out when you know you've got to kill every last man in order to move forward. If you leave even one guy alive, he's going to come stab you in your sleep. That is how communists view the combat they fight. And remember, they are fighting. You cannot acknowledge that or acknowledge it. It doesn't matter. They are fighting a war of conquest and destruction. And when they gain ground, they hold on to it like it's life or death. They don't give up inches easily. You have to earn every bit of it because they're going to kick and scream and throw a big old fit about it. That's why. All right. We're going to talk to Brian Gantz with Byrna in just a moment, and then we'll come back and do a couple more emails. Hang on. I've got an animal
inside of me. This is Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment, on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday. Cannot get the smile off my face. We are heading into the weekend, cruising along. And now I get to talk to my friend. You have heard me talk about Berna many, many times before. Personal defense is something that I am passionate about. Whether I'm talking about Berna or not, I am imploring you at all times to put your phone in your freaking pocket. Open up your eyes and carry something on you that will allow you to stop a bad man from hurting you, because sadly, they are all around us. Scumbags are all around us. Somebody who is most definitely not one of those is Brian Ganz, CEO of Berna, who joins me now. Brian, why'd you start Berna?
Hey, first off, Jesse, thank you for having me on the show. It's great to talk to you again.
Of course. We're going to be breaking bread soon, are we not?
We are. I can't wait to have you up to Boston.
Me too.
Anyways, you know, it's an interesting question. I was just on the phone with somebody else telling the backstory. I've been a gun owner, like, you know, you and much of your audience. I've been a gun owner my entire life. And I've always liked really fast cars. And about 10 years ago, I was probably driving a little bit too fast. And somebody really got ticked off at me. And they got right on my bumper, and I sped up, and they sped up, and I slowed down, and they slowed down. And I really got scared. So I pulled over to the side of the road thinking that they would go around me, but they didn't. They pulled in right behind me. Now, I had my Glock 19, my 9mm, in my glove box, and this guy gets out of his car. And I'm thinking, Do I get out with my gun or not? And I said, you know what? I could see him in the side view mirror. He didn't have anything in his hands. I said, you know what, if I get out with my gun, nothing good is going to happen. This guy could take it away from me, or I certainly don't want to kill somebody over a road rage incident. So I got out without my gun, and nothing good happened. I mean, this guy was bigger, stronger, younger, and he came after me, and he threw me to the ground. Fortunately, the thing that he hurt most was my pride, but it made me realize that if I wasn't prepared to pull the trigger, and honestly, Jesse, I don't think I would shoot an unarmed man. But if I wasn't prepared to pull the trigger, the gun wasn't doing me any good. And it was at that moment that I said, you know, I need to develop something that I could stop an assailant, that I could equal the playing field. I mean, this guy was, you know, had 50 pounds on me and 20 years younger. And that was the genesis of Berna. So we developed a personal self-defense weapon, as you know. Many in your audience knows it looks like a gun, works like a gun, but instead of firing lead, it fires either kinetic projectiles, which use pain compliance to stop people, or it fires projectiles filled with pepper or tear gas, and that immediately incapacitates somebody for 20 to 30 minutes. You know, they're temporarily blinded, they're in respiratory distress, their skin is on fire. And, you know, if I had had a Berna at that time, I could have held this guy at bay until the cops got there. And that was really the backstory of Berna.
Brian, please forgive me, but I have to deal with Jewish producer Chris, who, as you know, is a heavy, heavy burden on me. He's dying to know what kind of car you were driving. He's a car guy, so I have to friggin' ask.
Okay, it was a 2011 Audi R8 V10, one of my favorite cars, with this 6-speed gated transmission.
Oh, he's so insanely jealous right now. That's German, Chris. Anyway, so, all right. This has been a struggle. This is why you and I have had this conversation before. Introducing my wife to guns, getting her comfortable with guns, has been and remains an ongoing struggle. You know, the noise, the everything. But Berna has given her something she carries everywhere. She's a paddleboarder, one of these healthy workout freaks. Don't you hate people like that? But she's always got to have something on her because there's animals everywhere. And the compact one has really, really encouraged her. I got to have something on. Fits right in my thing. It's perfect for her.
Yeah, you know, and look, we all know guns can be intimidating. I mean, that recoil, you know, they're loud, they're, you know, they're violent. The beauty of the Berna is that there is no recoil. And although it's loud, it's not so loud that, you know, you're going to need hearing protection. So, you know, if you shoot it in the house, you're not going to be deaf the way you would be if you shot, you know, your 45 or 44 Magnum or even your 38. So, you know, I understand why Aubrey wants the Berna CL. And, you know, we've seen a lot of women buying the Berna CL. That said, that is what I carry because it is the same exact size as a SIG P365 or a Glock 43X. I mean, it is easy concealed carry. And, you know, the key with having a gun is you have to have it on you all the time. You know, it's going to be the one time that you don't have something with you that you're going to need it. So that's why we wanted to develop something that would be easy to conceal carry.
Tell me about hiring American, making things in America, because I realize that that's become kind of a hot thing for people now, but that's something you prioritize. Why?
Well, you know, honestly, when we started this company, we were manufacturing in South Africa because the inventor of the device, the guy that I hired to create the first Berna HD, was from South Africa. And when the pandemic hit in 2020 and the supply chains broke down, our factory was shut, honestly, Jesse, more days than it was open. And it was at that moment I realized that we needed to start bringing production back to the United States. So we came up with what I call the all truck strategy, which meant that everything had to be able to be delivered by truck. In other words, had to be made in the U.S., couldn't be coming from overseas. Now, we had redundant sources, so we had a lot of parts that we bought some overseas and some in the U.S., but every single component of the gun had a U.S. supplier. Okay, so fast forward a couple of years, it looks like Donald Trump is going to win the election. Now, you know, I don't know what all these people were smoking, but this guy's been talking about tariffs, you know, for years. It was clear that there were going to be tariffs. So we started moving all of our production to our U.S. factories. And we went from 32% of our supply chain in the U.S. to 92% of our supply chain in the U.S. So we are made in Fort Wayne, Indiana, proudly made by American workers. And all of the components that go into our firearms are also made in America. We closed down what was left in South Africa was our ammunition factory. We closed that down and we shipped it lock, stock, and barrel to Fort Wayne. And we opened up a brand new Greenfield ammunition facility, just went live this last month. And just in time, because of course there's 30% duties on everything coming from South Africa. So, you know, we've embraced this. You know, I've been on a number of shows. I was actually on Jake Tapper this week. I'm going to be on Fox on Sunday talking about why I believe in these tariffs. Because one, we should be making things here in the United States. There's no two ways about it. And secondly, you know, we're dealing with cheap Chinese knockoffs. There are competitors that as we've started to become successful, this year we'll do well over 100 million in sales. People are trying to replicate what we're doing, but they're doing it with cheap Chinese knockoffs, and they're selling them for prices below what I can make them for in the United States. Now, that's just wrong. I mean, and nobody was there to help me until President Trump came along, and he's going to make them pay up. And so I'm a big supporter of these tariffs.
It is Berna, BYRNA. You hear me tell you about it all the time. You just heard it from the man himself. Brian, you, me, we're going to be hanging soon. I appreciate you very much, my friend.
Jesse, thanks so much. Can't wait to see you up in Boston.
Berna.com, BYRNA. We got one more segment left. Hang on.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on what has been a wonderful Thursday. Remember that tomorrow is Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get all your Ask Dr. Jesse questions in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Also, please don't forget about this.
What happened last week when they took a shot at my hero? And they tried to kill the next president of the United States. Enough was enough. And I said, let Trumpomania run wild, brother. Let Trumpomania rule again. Let Trumpomania make America great again.
Gosh, I love this country. Also, Tom Homan. This is great.
Do you have a favorite Hulk Hogan memory?
I love Hulk Hogan. I got I had an Italian Mastiff dog, 200 pounds. His name, Hulk Homan.
Hulk Homan. That's so good. Also, Donald Trump. This was a really great move he did today with AI.
America is the country that started the AI race. And as president of the United States, I'm here today to declare that America is going to win it. The reason the last administration was so eager to regulate and restrict AI was so they could limit this technology to just a few large companies, allowing them to centralize it, censor it, control it, weaponize it. This is the exact opposite of my approach. The American people do not want woke Marxist lunacy in the AI models, and neither do other countries. From now on, the U.S. government will deal only with AI that pursues truth, fairness, and strict impartiality. We're not going to go through the craziness that we've gone through for the last 4 years.
ICE detainers skyrocket and the city is not cooperating. That's happening right now in New York. That's a headline from Red State. Combine that with this little bit about Mamdani.
Kansas City was the first major city in the U.S. to implement a policy like this. And now that experiment is...
By the way, the policy is free bus rides.
Kansas City was the first major city in the U.S. to implement a policy like this. And now that experiment is coming to an end almost 5 years later. And that's because of one unavoidable reason, money. The program originally cost $9 million to launch, but as ridership grew, so did the bill. Meanwhile, New York City is considering a much bigger move. City Council member Zohran Mamdani wanted to eliminate bus fares citywide, something no other city has done at this scale. Last year, he piloted the idea on 5 MTA bus routes, and when he did that, ridership jumped. It increased 30% on weekdays and 38% on weekends, according to the MTA. But the price tag is staggering. The New York City Independent Budget Office estimates going fare free would cost $650 million a year in a system that's already under financial strain.
A reminder that the communist is never selling this will work. He's never really selling that. He knows he has to lie and act like that, but that's not what he's selling. And because that's not what he's selling, explaining to him that it won't work is not effective. It working is not at all the goal. He sells revenge. He's always selling revenge. The religion of the malcontent. You, your life sucks. It's their fault. You give me power and I will hurt them for you. That is all communist campaigning. It's how they sell it every single time. Let's do an email. Jesse, I got a pure talk in 3 burners. My man, when are we going to get hearings on Afghanistan? Probably never. I know the Vietnam vets definitely know what I'm talking about, but the GWAT vets, the Global War on Terror vets, they deserve so much better than what they got. They deserved better leaders, better politicians, a clear mission. They gave so much. There are so many listening to me right now who gave so much, and you deserve better. That's all I'm going to say. You deserve a lot better. Jesse, love your show and the history stories. Tell me what you think. Should Trump and the Trump family sell their New York City holdings and get out and rebuild the Trump dynasty somewhere else, more welcoming? I mean, you can say that, but when I tell people to move, oftentimes people will email and say, Jesse, I grew up here. My mom grew up here. My dad grew up here. My grandparents are from here. And that's a really great reason to stay. It's hard to walk away from all that. It's hard to walk away from family history. Trump is Mr. New York. He's always been that guy. He was in Home Alone too. He's Mr. New York. For him, the thought of completely leaving is probably unbearable. Probably unbearable. Anyway.
And now.
Here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Barack Obama deserves to go to prison for the rest of his natural life. Well, that's really smart. Who said that? Oh, look at that. Jesse Kelly. That's from LifeZet. They seem smart, Chris. ICE is helping alleviate pressure on America's emergency rooms. Your healthcare costs are so unbelievably high, in part because illegals, you have to pay for their healthcare. Remember that. Germany plans compulsory military screening for young men. Uh-oh, Chris. U.S. urges immediate end to a conflict between Cambodia and Thailand. These countries are always fighting over something. Why? Just let them go. Missouri AG sues Planned Parenthood for falsely advertising dangerous abortion drug as safe. Yeah, Missouri's AG, Andrew Bailey is his name. I'm a fan. He really does some awesome work. Iran doubles down on refusal to end the nuclear program, ready for war with Israel. Well, that peace lasted not very long. Authorities arrest second suspect in shooting a Border Patrol agent. Again, this happens because Democrats tell everybody Border Patrol guys and ICE guys are kidnapping everyone, essentially giving the street animals a license to go do street animal things. I will be back tomorrow to do Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and we're going to have a real good time. That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast.